them in our prayers this week. Some of you may remember that building, the building at the Granby congregation. Of course, we were there about a month or so ago now, doing some work, helping them with that building. I wanted to show that to those that went on that trip. It's a different color. You can see they've, when we were there, it was a dark brown, and we painted the inside of the building, so the group that came in the following week got the outside painted. So just wanted to show that to everyone that especially had been on that trip. We're going to do a missions report update on September the 12th, Sunday evening, and we'll include some things about Granby as well as the other works. Of course, we'll get an update from our South Africa group, the Chicago team trip that took place a couple of weeks ago, or just last week actually, they got back. So have several things we'll update that particular night, but wanted to go ahead and show you that picture. David had just emailed that earlier today. As you're going through your readings, you would have read the passage that we're looking at, think back Wednesday of this past week, July the 14th, if I have my dates correct, if you're right on the day. I talked to one gentleman last week, and he said, I have just finished reading through the year. So some may be ahead, some may be a bit behind, and it doesn't matter where you're at as long as you're somewhere within Scripture and are just making that effort. And that's sort of what we want to look at with the time that we have this evening. How many of us this evening would or could have ever made this statement, I would just like to have a fresh start in my Christian life? I just need a fresh start, a new beginning, a place to start over, a place to be able to say, okay, I'm going to go forward from here and see how things go. Can't you imagine the Israelites as they went through? And if you look at Isaiah, one of the things that you see constantly time and time again is they're falling back. God's punishing them and then bringing them back to Him. Here you read a couple of chapters later, they've fallen again, coming back, fallen again, coming back. A cycle that just continues over and over. Do we see that in our lives someday or sometimes today? Do we see that in the Christian life that we live? There in Isaiah 43, we looked at verses 18 and 19. Jason read those just a moment ago. But here he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. A new thing. A new beginning, if you will. A fresh start. A new time. A clean slate. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Does that sound like someone who wants to give you a second chance? Who wants to give you a new beginning, a new start? That still applies today. The good news is God says, I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want to give you a place you can start over. Begin again. A do-over, if you will. You ever wanted a do-over in life? You made that shot that just went terribly awry. You struck out. You missed that catch. Say, I want a do-over. I need another chance. I want another chance in life. Can you imagine Israel? They were being punished for their sins and the rebellion against God. God wanted to give hope and encouragement to His people. He wanted them to know that even though they were being punished, they were not being forsaken. Have you ever had those times of feeling that you were forsaken? God said, that's not the case. I'm punishing you. I want you to come back. I want you to start over. The fact is that God wanted to give them a fresh start in life, a new beginning, a new lease on life. And Israel, no doubt, was discouraged. They thought maybe this was the end. Did they have another chance? Did they have another opportunity? God's saying it's not the begin. Forget those former things. Let's start something new. Maybe they thought God would never deliver them again. It's over. That's when they began to remember the former things or the past deliverances. They could remember that when they were trapped by the Red Sea and had nowhere to go, how God made a way and provided for them. They could remember that when the enemy was about to overtake them, how He provided protection for them. They could remember the former things, but they couldn't always see their future. I mean, that's why God said, I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to do something new. Maybe that's where you are tonight. Maybe that's where you are as you sit here this evening. I don't know your exact situation in life. But maybe you're at the point you think God no longer cares. God has given up on me. God no longer is on my side. Who's moved? The good news is God is saying it's not over. I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. This evening I want to look at a fresh start. We're going to try our PowerPoint clicker tonight. So, and actually I had this planned before Bryce did this morning. So don't just say I'm trying to keep up with Bryce. We already had this. He did a good job this morning. I appreciate him doing that. This is simple stuff that we're looking at tonight. Nothing difficult, but you know, sometimes I think it helps to just spell things out. How do we start? Where do we start? What's the starting point? And each life is different. Each situation is different. But if you look at this, you can apply it to the situation you might be in. You can apply it to your life. And I hope this is an encouragement to you tonight. I hope this is something you can look at and say, I need to start over. And maybe it's not all aspects of life. Maybe most of your life is going very, very good. Probably is to a certain point, or you might not even be here tonight. But there's something maybe that you would like to have a fresh beginning, a new start. Share with you a formula for starting over. Pass this along to friends. Maybe if it's something that you can use and think, yeah, that's something that works. And like I said, nothing magical about this. What's the first thing? Stop making excuses. We're going to spell out the word start. You probably recognize that as I had it spelled down horizontally. But stop making excuses in your life. How often or how easy is it to blame someone else? We've got to stop seeing ourselves as the victim of circumstance. Other people can hurt us. Other people can harm us. Other people can even scar us. But the only person that can ruin your life is who? Is you. And it's me. Please, as I'm bringing this tonight, this is to Dwight as well. How do we start over? We stop making excuses. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You know, it's really hard to get people to admit they're wrong. That's not something we like, is it? Say, I'm wrong. I made a mistake. I need to do something different. I need to start over. I need to change direction. That's a difficult thing to do. It's when we come to that realization and we stop making those excuses saying, I'm here because Dwight put me here. I am where I am today because of me. Now, there are a lot of outside circumstances. There are a lot of things that affect where we're at in life and a lot of things that contribute to that. But when you get down to it, how do you handle those things? How do you handle those circumstances? It's hard to get people to admit that. I think the number one reason we fail in life is that a lot of times we simply don't prepare ourselves for the problems that we're going to face. Do we go into something unprepared? I'm about to take a class in 3 weeks, and I'm trying my best to prepare for that class. If anyone would like to read a textbook and write some cliff notes for me, I would let you do that. We've got a lot of books to read, a lot of articles, but so often we just don't prepare. Maybe that's because we're busy. Maybe that's because we don't have priorities like we should. Maybe a lot of things enter into that, but if we're not prepared, we're setting ourselves up for failure. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 says, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Was it raining when Noah began building the ark? He had to prepare for the coming flood, didn't he? He did that on faith. We'll look at that in just a minute. But he had a lot of time to prepare with no drops of rain. And imagine the ridicule that he faced. Imagine the jeers and the jokes and just everything that everyone said. Noah, what are you doing? He said, I'm preparing. God's told me to be ready. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. We're looking at Proverbs tonight. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. We sometimes don't seek that advice, do we? We try to do it on our own. We try to stand up and say, I can do this. I got myself in this situation. I can get myself out. How often do we fail to seek advice? Why do you think it is we don't listen to the advice of others? Because you know there are people in this very audience tonight who have probably been in a situation that you may be dealing with tonight. Why do we not listen to others? Is it pride? Is it ego? Does anyone know what ego means? Edging God out. Is that right? I hadn't really thought of that before, but could that be part of it? We're edging God out of our lives because we can do things on our own. We can do it all. We can handle everything. Once again, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. An arrogant attitude always leads to a fall. Do we listen to the advice of others? Do we listen to the advice of a husband or a wife? Of a boss or others around me that could give me some good advice? The person that gets too big for their britches will eventually be exposed in the end. And how true that is. Are we sometimes too big for those britches? Aren't seeking the advice of others. Aren't looking for advice. Aren't going to God's Word. And we'll definitely touch on that in a minute as well. But we don't listen to others. And then we give up too soon. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Failure is the path of least resistance. How true that is. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. If at first you don't succeed, you're normal. Very few people make it on the first try. The first try, much, much too soon to quit. But stop making excuses. Take an inventory of my life. That's where it all starts, isn't it? I can't do anything about others to a certain extent. I can encourage. I can give the advice if it's asked. I can try to help others out. But when it comes down to it, they have to make the decision. When it comes down to it, I have to make that decision. What's the inventory of my life? It means I need to evaluate all my experiences. I need to look at what I've left after the failure. I need to take an inventory of my life's experience, and then learn from that. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul says, have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? What's Paul saying there? Basically, he's saying, you suffered so much for the gospel. Are you going to throw that all out? Look where you've come. Look at the place you are in life. Are you going to just throw that all behind? We learn from our mistakes. Failure can either be a friend or a foe. I think there are really four kinds of experiences that we learn from. And God uses these experiences to shape our lives. He uses our personal experiences. He uses our family that we grew up with. He uses the people that we relate to. He uses our personal experience, even with a husband or a wife or a close family friend. He also uses our vocational and educational experiences to shape us. He uses our spiritual experiences to shape us. The family that we have. The church that we're a part of. The amount of time we spend in His Word meditating on that. And we'll look at that in just a moment as well. But then at the same time, I think He uses painful experiences to shape us. I think as you're taking this inventory of your life, there's really three questions that you ask. What have I learned? What have I learned from life? You may know of people, I know of people who are 40 or 50 years old. You think they would have 40 or 50, 60 years, however old they might be, of experience. But yet they only have one because they do it all over. They don't learn from past experience. They don't learn from past mistakes. They begin over, and we're saying starting over, starting new. Yeah, we've got to learn from the past. We've got to learn from where we came. Then you ask yourself, what are my assets? What have I got going for me? Have I got my health? Have I got my freedom? Am I mentally sound? Have I got some friends? Then you ask some tough questions. Have I got the Lord? Have I got a church family? What do I have that I can get a fresh start with? So what are my assets? And then you ask the question, who can help me? When we need a fresh start, what do we need? We need someone there by our side. A friend, an accountability partner, a support group, a support person. No matter what it is, we need someone there that can see us through. Part of our inventory. Are you ready to act in faith? This is where the rubber meets the road, if you want to use that terminology. The third step in getting a fresh start, acting in faith. You have to launch out into maybe a new territory that you're not familiar with, that you're maybe not comfortable with, because it is new. Change is something that we don't always relate to well. I know I don't. But if things are always like they have been, are there some changes that need to be made? If you want to change anything in life, you have to have some faith. Jesus says in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, will it be done to you? Bryce used that verse in our lesson this morning. The faith that it took of that blind man. The faith on his part for that healing. It's a very simple statement, but very powerful. What are you expecting in life? Are you expecting to get better? Are you expecting to get worse? Are you expecting that things will remain the same? If you act in faith, then you'll do something positive to ensure that some positive action can occur. The faith that I'm talking about is not a dead hope-so type of faith. It's an affirmative faith. It takes positive action coupled with help of God to change a life. Over in Acts chapter 3, if you want to turn there for just a moment, I have just a few verses I'd like to share with you. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. He was put where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Emphasis on that word, expecting to get something. He had faith, did he not? Now he didn't quite get what he was expecting, and we may not always in life, but he did have some faith. He had a place to start. He was looking for money, as he did day in and day out. Looking for them just to give a little bit extra of what they could spare, and then he would be done with that. What does it say there in verse 6? Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Don't know what exactly this man was expecting. He says he gave him his attention. He was expecting something. And of course received so much more. This lame man acted in faith and was greatly rewarded. Many times we ask for something and expect to get nothing. We've been looking at prayer on Sunday morning. Bryce talked about that this very morning. Unanswered prayers brought forth some good material for us this morning. Acting in faith. Failure is a way to become successful. You figure out what doesn't work. You know, Thomas Edison, on about the 200th try, made the light bulb shine. How did he do that? Some might say 199 times of failing. But he knew what didn't work, didn't he? He knew what wouldn't make it shine. We learn from past failures and mistakes. Act in faith for the future. Proverbs 29:25, once again, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Fear so often getting in our way. As we bring this to a close this evening, we're refocusing. That's what this is all about. Refocusing, a new way of looking at things, a different way of looking. Doing things differently than we have in the past. Proverbs, once again, chapter 4 and verse 23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You know, the way you think determines the way you feel. The way you feel determines the way you act. If we want to change our actions, where does it start? With our thinking, doesn't it? Where's your focus tonight? Where is your focus? Do we need to refocus? It's our choice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul there says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds, or of your mind. If I have to focus my thoughts to start over, to get a fresh start, that means I have to stop thinking some of the old patterns, stop thinking some of the old things that maybe put me right where I am today. A refocusing, if you will. How do you do that? I think first of all, confession. We say, I've confessed to God, but I still feel guilty. How do I get rid of that painful memory? It's not by resisting it, but by replacing it. Not saying, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. What are you doing the whole time? You're thinking about it, aren't you? What's the best thing to focus on? God's Word. We've been going through each Sunday night and looking. We've encouraged each and every one to continue in the daily study of God's Word. And that's not just reading. That's not just listening to. But that's meditation. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates. Notice that word, meditates, day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Meditating on God's Word simply means rehearsing God's Word in your mind. Applying that to your life, applying that to your situation. We read here from Isaiah chapter 43 and how God was there for the Israelites. How do we apply that to us? He's here for us. He's a part of our lives. He wants us to take that fresh start. And then finally, as we complete the word start, we stop making the excuses. Got to stop the bleeding, basically, don't we? Take an inventory of life. We act in faith. We refocus. And we trust. Trust God to help us succeed. We depend on Him. We can't depend on ourselves. It's ourselves that have put us in the situation we might be in, needing that fresh start. That's why we fail. I think sometimes we just don't probably get that like we should. That's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. Where's the refocusing? Where's the trust? If we keep doing the same thing, then we will, of course, receive the same results. We can't change who we are. God can. But He said, I need you to start down that path. Said, I'm doing some new things. Forget the past. Forget what is behind you. And how often do we dwell on the past? How often is that the one place we look day in and day out and fail to look at the present, much less the future? You know, success in Christian life is not trying harder, but living smarter. Giving God control of our lives. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I think if you look at Isaiah, and a lot of our reading this week has been from Isaiah, but if you look at that and the theme of that book, Isaiah continually seems to be a highway for the return of exiles back home. A fresh start. Exiles coming back home. Does that describe any of us? You bet it does. We've all been there at some time. We've all been there at some point in our life. And maybe struggle with that even on a daily basis. But if we think of that as a highway, most highways go both directions, don't they? And that's the question. Where are you headed tonight? Where are you headed this very evening?